Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his
banner. Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this show is for Wednesday, the 2nd of August, 2017, and is the 270th Word for Word show. That's a milestone. Another one. We're in the book of Eob, or Job. We're going to be starting in chapter 10 today. And we have been going slowly through Job because of all the commentary and notes that are necessary. So bear with me. I'm not racing ahead in this. Again, David James did a beautiful word or scripture study on Job. I heartily recommend that you download that from his archives. He has a different take on it than I do. He's doing the deep study of the meanings. I'm doing the word study, word by word, giving you the blow by blow. And a lot of what I have to say backs up what he said. Because of just the words that are in the chapters. Let's get started with chapter 10, verse 1. My soul is weary of my life. Or in the Hebrew, weary is my soul of my life. They phrase things differently than we do. I will let loose or leave my complaint, 7879, upon myself. He's letting loose a complaint basically, here he's going to ask Yahweh why he's being punished or afflicted. I will let loose my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness, that's 4751, of my feelings. It has soul in the King James, but it translates to my inner feelings, okay? I will say unto Eloah, that is the poetic form that they use for Elohim, do not condemn me. Make me know, 3045, over what you contend with me. 7378, to Ribani. In other words, why are you doing this to me? What have I done? He's confused. He wants to understand why. Because in his mind, he's righteous. Verse 3, is it good to you that you should oppress, that you should despise the work of your hands? speaking of mankind, Adam kind, and upon the counsel of the wicked shine, 3313. I've corrected the word order there. That's Hophata. Hophaeta, pardon me. To shine. Verse 4. Have you eyes of flesh, or see you as mortals see? That's 582. That's Enosh. Okay. Verse 5. Are your days as the days of mortals? Are your years as man's days? Now that's 1397 here. I need to flip a little page. That's Gaber. That's a strong man. Okay. Verse 6. That you inquire after my iniquity. And after my sin, you search. Or my sin you search after. That's actually more accurate. Verse 7, and you can reference the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 16, verse 15 in the Apocrypha. You know, 1847, a different word for no, Daateka, okay, that I am not wicked. And there is none that out of your hand can deliver. In other words, you're all powerful. If you're going to do this, you're going to do this. Nobody can stop you. That's what he's saying. This is verse 8. Your hands have shaped me. That's 6087. Itsubuni. And fashioned me together round about. Yet you do destroy me. Verse 9. Remember now that you have made me as the clay. 2563, Kakomer. And will you bring me into the dust again? Return me to the dust? In other words, are you going to kill me? He's wondering. All this problems he's having. There's verse 10. You can reference the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verses 1 and 2 in your Apocrypha. Now, they messed with the word order very badly in this verse, so I am correcting it. As milk have you not poured me out, and like cheese curdled me? In verse 11, they have messed with verse 11 as well. So I'll read it in the proper word order. With skin and flesh you have clothed me, and with bones and sinews have woven me together. If you're reading the King James, you see the difference. Okay? Verse 12. You have granted me life and loving kindness, and your visitation has preserved my spirit. When he visits him, when Yahweh was with him in spirit, he lifted him up in spirit. Verse 13. And these things have you hidden in your heart, and I know that this is with you. Verse 14. Now they have changed this around. Verse 14. If I sin, then you mark me, and from my iniquity you will not acquit me. That's 5352, to acquit. Tenakeni. Verse 15. If I be wicked, woe unto me, and if I be innocent, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of shame. 7036. Kalon. Therefore see you my affliction. He's crying out to Yahweh. He says, look, I'm innocent. See my affliction. Because he counts himself as righteous. Okay? And he was pretty good fella. But there's a lot of pretty good fellas that are not going to make it. Okay? But this guy was a particularly good fella. And that's why the Satan wanted to test him like this, to see if he could break his faith. Well, his faith is pretty evident right here. He's crying out to Yahweh, but he thinks he's righteous. Let me get a drink of ice water here. Verse 16. He's talking of his affliction. For it rises up, 1342. Will you hunt me as a fierce lion, and again you show yourself marvelous, 6381, upon me. Titipala, show yourself marvelous, number 6381. Let me flip a page of the Hebrew here. Pardon the paper crackling. It's old paper. This work that I'm doing here goes way back. I have not got it computerized, but I've got all the notes in my poor old beat up King James version of the Word Study Bible with all the Strong's numbers. And then I have all handwritten Hebrew. I haven't got it printed out yet. So this is about 14 years old here, this study that I did. Verse 17. You renew 2318 to Kadesh your witnesses against me, and increase your anger upon me. Changes 2487, Kalifoth, and war with Saba are against me or upon me. Okay? Verse 18. Why then have you brought me forth out of the womb? In other words, why did you let me be born? Oh, that I had expired. 1478. Egua, that's to breathe out the last breath. And no eye had seen me. In other words, I would have died in the womb and no one would have seen him. Verse 19. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Stillborn, in other words. This is poetic in form. Remember, this is not literal. This is poetic writing. And Hebrew poetry is poetry of similitude of thought, not rhyming words. They don't rhyme words in Hebrew poetry. Totally different form. Verse 20. Are not my days few? In other words, I only live a short time. Cease then, and let me alone, that I may smile a little. Verse 21. Before I go from where I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. Verse 22. A land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. Woo. All right, now in verse 21 you have the land of darkness. That's 2822, darkness. In verse 22 you have a land of darkness. That's 5890 as darkness. And then as darkness itself, that's 652 as darkness. So you have three different words used as darkness. Okay. Well, that ends chapter 10. We'll get into chapter 11 here. Let me set this aside and get the chapter 11 Hebrew here. Pardon me for just a second. Ah, that's better. I need a little drink of water. I had a very large frog in my throat there. Knee deep, knee deep. I know, I'm a crazy old man. Here in this chapter 11, Zophar, one of his friends, is accusing Job of sin. I think he's going to get nailed for doing that later on. So let's hear what Zophar has to say. Now, that's spelled T-S-O-P-H-A-R. It does not have the Z in it like it is in the King James. They misspell stuff terribly. Verse 1. Then answered Zophar the Naamathi, that's 5284, and said, let's stop here for a second and do a comment on Zophar. The land of Naamah, which makes him a Naamathi, may have been located in northern Arabia. His name means chatterer or rough. And like Bildad, he was from the east, okay? And you can reference 1 Kings 4:30. He was also of the opinion, according to tradition of the times, because Job had all this come on him, that he had committed some horrible sin. And that is from the legalistic interpretation of the circumstances. So, it predates the law of Moses, but they were going by the local traditions of the time, which a lot of would eventually make it into the work, the workings, the writings of Moses. He is being punished for some type of sin in Zophar's mind. He thinks in this manner: if the punishment for sin is suffering, then all who suffer must have sinned. You are rewarded for good and punished for evil. Well, in Job's case, this is not so. He is being afflicted by the devil, okay? Ha-Satan. Ha-Satan is still doing this. He is afflicting us today to see if he can break our faith. He wants Job to give up hope and curse Yahweh and just die. And that's what he wants us to do. He just hammers at us continually. All these things that are going on and all these things will come from the adversary that hates Jacob Israel and wants to break our faith in Yahweh and join him in destruction. He wants us to self-destruct spiritually. Spiritually. Oh, he'll even kill some of us. His minions will. But it is the eternal spiritual destruction that he desires most. Same as what he's doing to Job. And these friends of Job don't realize that. So they're speaking out of turn. They're putting blame on Job. And Job is enduring all of this. And this hurts even more coming from three of his close friends. Well, you must have done something. Well, actually not. Let's continue. Verse 2. Should not the multitude of words be answered? In other words, to his preceding speech, crying out to God. And should a man full of talk be justified? That's 8193. Sifathayim, man full of talk. Verse 3. Should your lies make men be silent? And when you mock, shall no man make you ashamed? 3, 6, 8, 7. Okay. Or 3, 6, 3, 7. Pardon me. Makalim. Make you ashamed. Verse 4. For you have said, my teaching is pure, and I am clean in your eyes. In other words, he's accusing him of boasting that he's pure and clean. Yet he's sitting there all afflicted. And Zophar can't get what's going on. It hadn't been revealed to him. Verse 5, but oh, that Eloah would speak and open his lips against you. He said, God should rebuke you. Okay? That's pretty hard. And that he would tell you the secrets of wisdom that they are a duplicate of insight. Know therefore that Eloah forgets you. Or forgets of you less than your iniquity deserves. That's implied. In other words, he's been light on you so far. He still thinks that Job has done something horrible because of the massive amount of affliction that he's undergoing. And in his mind, the punishment fits the crime. Well, Job may have some pride, which is rapidly dispersing, but as far as violating, doing wicked deeds, he's innocent. And you see today that the devil attacks the innocent. The people that are already going along with his plans, he leaves them alone. He doesn't upset their lives. In fact, he prospers them to make that kind of lifestyle more attractive to the people that are sitting on the fence. He is so subtle. He is the deceiver. Verse 7. Can you, by searching, find Eloah? Can you find out the Shaddai unto the end? That's the Almighty, the Shaddai. Verse 8. It is as high as the sky. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol. That's the land of the dead. What can you know? Verse 9. The measure of it is longer than the land and broader than the sea. Wow. Verse 10. If he passes by or confines or gather together, then who can turn him back? In other words, who's going to stop anything that Yahweh wants to do? Who's going to be powerful enough to stop Yahweh? I mean, how are you going to oppose him? How? That's what he's saying here. Verse 11, this backs it up. For he knows vain men. He sees iniquity also. Will he not then consider it? In other words, he knows your thoughts. He knows your deeds. He knows your vanity. Now, here's verse 12, and there's some new definitions in here. For a hollow-minded man, that's 5014. They have vain in here. That's incorrect. It's hollow-minded. For a hollow-minded man would get a mind. 3823. Though Adam, specific Adam, be born like a wild ass's foal. In other words, he's like a donkey when he's born. Verse 13. If you prepare your heart and stretch out your hands toward him. Verse 14. If iniquity, that's 205, be in your hand, put it far away and let not wickedness dwell in your tents. In other words, if you stretch out your hand toward God, don't do it when you're in the middle of committing iniquity. Verse 15. For then shall you lift up your face without blemish. In other words, put aside all your sin, and you will be free from blemish. Yea, you shall be firmly set, 3:3:1:2. No, wait a minute, let me look. I have to get my magnifying glass. The print is so small. 3:3:3:2, pardon me. Mutzak. You shall be firmly set and shall not fear. In other words, if you purge the sin from yourself, you can call upon God without fear. Verse 16, because you shall forget your trouble, 5:9:9:9, and remember it as waters that pass away. Oh, like we say, it's just water under the dam? Okay. Verse 17, and duration of life, that's 2:4:6:5. Okay, that's Khaled, it says old age, duration of life shall arise as the noonday, and you shall shine forth, 5:7:7:4, Taufa, you shall be as the morning. In other words, you'll be spiritually reborn as the morning. This is all poetic here. All poetic. Verse 18, and you shall be secure. That's 9:82. Ubatakata. Or Ubataketa. It can be that way too. Because there is hope. Yea, you shall dig and you shall lie down in safety and security. Okay? In other words, you will dig and plant and build and do all of that. That's what the dig means. Also, verse 19, also, you shall lie down and none shall make you afraid. 2:7:2:9. Macharid. Ein macharid. None shall make you afraid. Yea, many shall entreat. 24:70. Your favor. 64:40. And entreat is wakilu. Will entreat your favor many, is how they put it. Because their word order is different than English. Let's get into verse 20 here, and that'll finish out chapter 11. But the eyes of the wicked shall fail. In other words, be consumed. And their hope perishes as the breathing out of life. So it's like they will be taking their last breath. So that ends chapter 11. Let's get into chapter 12 here. I'll set this aside with the others. Here we have chapter 12. The man really hammered him, okay? And here's Job's response. And Job answered and said, verse 2, undoubtedly, but you are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. Verse 3, but I have a mind as well as you. I am not defective to you or fallen under you. 5307. Yea, who knows not such things as these? Verse 4. I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calls upon Eloah, and he answers him. The just, upright man is laughed to scorn. Well, here he's declaring he's a just, upright man. He's rebuking his friend for hammering on him like that. He that is ready to slip, 4571, with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is as he is at ease. 7600. Now they've mistranslated in verse 6, and I have corrected it. You're reading a King James along with this. Note the difference. Verse 6. The tents of oppressors at 7703 prosper. 7951. And they that provoke 7264 L, that means the capital E-L as God, okay, referring to Yahweh. Those that provoke El are secure, 987, into whose hand Eloah brings, and they have abundantly, which is inserted. They're rich. And these are wicked people. But the higher they rise, the greater their fall will be. They're going to go the way of all the earth. They're going to die eventually and then face that judgment. Just like the ones today. Let me get a little hit of water here. Verse 7, but ask now the beasts, 929, now these are four-legged dumb beasts, and they shall teach you, and the birds of the sky, and they shall tell you. We ask these animals. Verse 8, or speak to the ground, and it shall teach you, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto you. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of Yahweh has wrought this? They don't know, these animals don't know about Yahweh, they're dumb beasts. Verse 10. In whose hand the soul of the soul of every living thing is, and the breath of all flesh of men. Okay. Yahweh is life. He gives life to all. Okay. Beasts, men, birds, whatever lives, he's created every living thing. Okay. He can kill it if he wishes. He can destroy men if he wishes. That's Yahweh's providence. He is the divine creator. And he's telling us, listen, you can learn some things from the dumb beast. Just see how nature works. That's what he's telling him. Verse 11. Does not the ear try words? 974, that's to test. And the mouth taste his food? In other words, decide whether it's good or not. Verse 12. With the aged, 3, 4, 5, 3, in wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. 8, 3, 9, 4. In other words, the older you get, you're supposed to get wiser. Well, some do, some don't. No fool like an old fool. Remember that saying? You're supposed to learn as you get older in life. Your life is a lesson. It's supposed to teach you. Some people learn from it. Some people do not. They just keep on doing their foolishness. Verse 13. With him is wisdom and strength. He is counsel and understanding. That's Yahweh, okay? With Yahweh is wisdom and strength, and he has counsel and understanding. Verse 14. Behold, he breaks down, 2040, and it cannot be rebuilt. He closes in upon a man, and there can be no letting loose. Now that is, closes in upon is a figurative for imprisons. And letting loose is a figurative for release from imprisonment. Verse 15. Again, see, he's extolling the wonders of Yahweh and talking about his power. He's not mad at Yahweh. He's not cursing Yahweh. He's not doing what the Satan wants. He keeps repeating over and over how magnificent Yahweh is, even though he's crying out and he doesn't understand why he's being punished. He doesn't think he's done anything. But he's being used as an example, as a benchmark, for other men. Resisting and defeating, just through his faith in Yahweh, the plans and machinations of the Satan. We have to do that in our lives now. That is extremely important, that we keep our faith and trust in Yahweh. No matter what happens, it's all to his glory. He can bring us up out of utter poverty if he wishes. Verse 15, behold, he stops the waters, and they dry up. Also, he sends them out, and they overturn the land. Big floods or drought, whatever he chooses. Verse 16, with him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. Both. Okay. Verse 17. He leads counselors away naked. Now that's a sign of madness. Okay. Mighty counselors. And makes the judges fools. Well, we got a bunch of judges that are fools today. Verse 18, he looses the bond of kings, and girds their loins with a girdle. He leads priests away naked. Again, 7758. And overthrows the mighty. This is Yahweh. I mean, he can do it. Our earthly powers are nothing. That's what Job's saying here. Doesn't matter what your station in life is. If he wants to knock you off your perch, he will. He can do all of this. All these people that we're upset over today because they have all this money and power, they're so high, they're just so high, and they are going to fall far from as high as they are. That fall is a long way down. But we have to trust in Yahweh to accomplish that. He's going to crash their whole system. Verse 20, he removes away the speech of the trusty and takes away the judgment of the ages. Verse 21, he pours contempt upon the nobles and weakens the strength of the mighty. This is Yahweh's attributes. And this man who was so afflicted and punished for some unknown reason is still praising Yahweh. Right here, he's doing it. Verse 22, he reveals deep things out of the darkness and brings out to light the shadow of death. Verse 23, he makes great the nations and destroys them. He makes them great or he destroys them. He enlarges the nations and leads them away. Verse 24. He takes away the heart of the chief of the people of the land and causes them to wander in a wasteland where there is no way, no path. Verse 25, they grope in the dark without light, and he makes them to stagger like a drunken man. And that ends chapter 12 and the reading for today. We're going to discuss it. What he's doing here is praising Yahweh and saying there is no earthly thing that can stand before him. He can make blooming farmland out of the desert. He can kill. He can keep alive. He can raise you up or knock you down. This is a lesson to us today. I keep trying to tell people this whole book is still pertinent today. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no doubts. What Job is saying here in praise of Yahweh applies to our situation in the tribulation that we are going through right now. And we are in the tribulation. I know there are some, oh no, it's not here yet. Look at all the killing and the rapes and the child pornography and the child sex slavery and the transvestites and the open faggots walking around. And the killings and the shootings and the wars and rumors of wars and the weather problems and the mutation of the weather by the governments spraying stuff. on and on and on and on, all these things simultaneously. Oh, there have been disasters in the past. I admit that. No problem. Big disasters. But nothing ever in recorded history, except for Noah's flood, like the destruction of the planet and the people, specifically the seed of Adam, by the minions of Hasatan, his children, the attack on the true chosen people, never has been this intense ever, like it is now. And it is increasing daily, with the deaths and the violence in America, in Britain, in all the white European countries, in South Africa. I don't see how anybody can deny that the trib is on us. It's not as bad as it's going to be, but it sure is one heck of an opening volley. What's the main attack of the Satan's minions, its children today? Morality, through all the pornography and the sex stuff and the drugs and the race mixing, which is an abomination. Open homosexuality, abomination. Murder of children, abomination. Ritual sacrifice, abomination. Over and over and over and over and over and over. Hello? Say hi to the tribulation. It's here. Justice? There's no justice through mankind's courts. They're as crooked and as perverted as they can get. Those that are assigned to enforce the law violate the law regularly. The brutality out there is a norm. People look in the rear view mirror of their car and see a cop car and they are afraid. Not when I was a kid. We'd drive by and wave at them. And boy, that changed. They're militarized, wearing black ninja uniforms, automatic weapons. Is crime lessening? No. They got all these police, and they're under instructions to let a lot of these people slide. Just let them go. Sheriff Joe Arpaio was convicted of violating a court order because he rounded up illegals. If they're illegal, they're committing a state crime. They said, no, they didn't commit any state crimes. They're here illegally. That's a crime. If they're in the state, that makes it a state and federal crime. And he was turning these illegals over to ICE to deport. And he's being punished for that. He's being punished. Oh, you're discriminating. No, I'm rounding up illegals. If they're not illegal, I don't mess with them. And he didn't. If they were legal citizens, okay, no problem. Hey, you know, you're here. Have a nice day. But if they couldn't produce a ID, he took them to the county jail and had ICE pick them up. Doing his job. But does that mean anything in today's perverted so-called justice system? No. And they besmirched his fine career as a law enforcement officer, peace officer, was sheriff for years and years and years, and is still super popular, except with the Aztlan movement of the militant Latinos. But they don't say anything. They don't do interviews with all the Latino people that have come here legally and gone through the process and are proud of their citizenship, are law-abiding, hardworking. They never ask them what they think because these illegals are spitting in their face. And there's a great deal of angst by Latino people that did the right thing against those that are illegal. But you never hear interviews about that now, do you? Of course not. That's not politically correct. They want to shape your opinion by their false news reports. And the truth never comes out because they are owned and operated by the children of the adversary, the Antichrist Zionist Jew. They own the whole shooting match. And they tell them what to say. You're going to report this. Well, that's not true. You're going to report this or find another job. Do it or you're fired. And most people will do it. Very, very, very few say, well, the hell with you, I quit. Because then they're blacklisted and they can't get a job anyplace else. Because all the outlets are owned by the Jews. And if you buck them, well, they're going to nail you. There is no such thing as justice. It's a lie, like everything else in the world that's going on in England. You can't say things. You're not committing a crime. You're not hitting somebody. You're not stabbing them. You're not beating them over the head with a bar, with a bottle of beer, and robbing them. You're just giving your opinion. You can go to jail for your opinion in England. Your opinion. They do not have freedom of speech. It's on the books, but they can't use it. And they're trying to do that here. You can be locked up in England for saying the wrong thing. Speech, thought police, and they want to bring it in here. They're working hard on that, trying to pass laws and have passed hidden laws that they do in the dark of the night. And they keep them hidden and they don't tell the American people. They're lurking in the background, going to use them to swoop down and make mass arrests. Whew. You think we're not in the tribulation? Oh yeah, brothers and sisters, we are there. But we at EFR just keep hammering away. We're going to tell the truth. Going to make people mad because it's not politically correct. But telling the truth is what we do. It's our job. Preaching the gospel, reading the word. We're going to do everything we can to oppose the adversary. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and I will talk to you again on Friday with a new show. Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal might.